It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
News out of the NFL world, the Dolphins have completed an interview with Kevin Stefanski for their head coach position.
Let me ask you a random question real fast that I just thought of, both of you guys. How many of these teams would have fired their coach if they knew that all of these openings were going to happen? Because, I mean, like, if you're the Dolphins, now all of a sudden Baltimore and Pittsburgh are open. The Giants are open. Like, how many
the
of
Cardinals?
These? And the, like, if you're the Cardinals right now, like, you're going to get whoever's there.
Yep.
You know, who wants the job? They put an ad on Indeed, I saw the other day. Head coach avail, because nobody wants that job. You know, like if you're some, like, these organizations, man, that have fired these coaches, and now you've got attractive organizations that are open with long-term coaches that have just left, you know, if you go there, you're going to get a real opportunity and not be fired in a year and a half. Like, I'm telling you, man, if you're like the Dolphins or the Cardinals or maybe even the Raiders at this point in time, you're looking around and go, are we really going to get better than what we had because of how many jobs are available at this point in time? I mean, it's going to be tough.
Mm-hmm. To your question, I mean, I think 9's the number. I think this is an egregious amount of job.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Openings that we've seen, and I think that even if they weren't ones that became available, let's say that like Baltimore didn't fire their coach and Cleveland held on to Stefanski, I mean, that's 7. I think that's still like a big number, but I mean, it depends like where you're at and what you want from your coach, I think, is the big thing. Because I thought that on First Things First Overtime, former defensive player, he's on there with Danny, and he was telling a story about Mike Tomlin. And he's like, I'll tell you why Mike Tomlin works. He goes, I show up to the practice one day late, and Willie McGinnis, I believe is his name.
Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
He's on that show. Great insight. They have him and Greg Jennings, which I forget how great of a receiver Greg Jennings was back
so
in the day.
Because
it was great because he was with Tomlin and then Greg Jennings.
He was the best receiver on the Chiefs this year.
And then Greg Jennings yes. was there with like Aaron for a little bit, right? And they were talking, and Willie McGinnis was like, there was one day I showed up late, and he's like, I got in there, snuck into the locker room, and Tomlin was like, hey, man, what's up? You a leader or you a follower? And he's like, oh, I'm a leader. He goes, you sure about that? He goes, yeah, I'm a leader. He goes, then show up to work on time, and went right back into his office. And like, that's the sort of accountability that Mike Tomlin holds.
That's more accountability than getting yelled at, than getting chewed out, than anything.
And that to me goes back to like when we talk about our fathers getting mad at us. It was never the yelling and screaming that my father or my stepfather would do. It would be the comment of, I'm not mad, I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
And that just hit your bones a little bit harder. And you kind of respect it that way because, yes, my dad or my stepdad could have gone completely AWOL and you know, yelled at me, and it was just, well, I'm not very happy with you right now. Like, that sort of verbiage would just be like, damn.
It's the stuff as a parent, you know, you fight with your family, you fight with your kids, everybody yells and screams. At least that's what we do because we're nuts. But I mean, that's every family, right? And then if you talk calm, cool, and collected, that's why when people always say, we need somebody's going to come in here like Eric Bieniemy and be a red ass with this team, who responds to that? Just put your own life out there, right?
I think it merits it sometimes.
Sometimes it does.
In the game, but not in the locker room.
Right, like the Mike Tomlin stuff, he changed that player, Willie McGinnis, or whoever it was that he talked to because of that. Just, hey, man, are you a leader or are you a follower? No, I'm a leader, coach. Really? Then show up to work on time. Thanks. And he didn't yell. He's not mad at him. He just sent that message, and I'll guarantee you that guy did not show up to work late ever again.
And it's also part of that strategic learning lesson of setting them up. Right, like getting in trouble as a kid with the principal and coming home and ready to turn on my PlayStation 1 to play Tony Hawk Pro Skater, and it's the system turns on, the TV turns on, but there's no picture. My dad comes home a few hours later and goes, what's wrong? I was like, it's not working, whatever. He comes in there with the yellow, red, and white cord.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes, well, maybe this call from the principal today is the reason why it's not working. And I was like, this mother set me up, dude. And it's like, you've got homework to do. You've got stuff you can work on. And then dinner will be ready at 5:30. And we'll see you out of the room then. And it was like, that was it. There was no like, wait 10 minutes, see if he learned his lesson.
So are you still in the age group where getting sent to your room was a punishment? Because now you get to send these kids to their room. And that's where they want to be.
I had a
really?
TV. I had a TV.
Because the phone.
Phone, yeah. TV, everything they need in there.
I had a TV in my room, but my mom was smarter than most people give her credit for. She would come in and she would feel the back of the TV. And if it was warm, she knew it was on.
Yeah, that's good.
Because I know you're not in there watching TV. I'm not. Why is the back of that TV warm?
Damn.
Mm-hmm. That's real.
Yeah, see, now TV's only really
good. Nah.
Patsy was cutthroat, dude. When she got pissed because we kept her up late at night with my friends on like a Wednesday night during the summer.
I'm pissed.
Guess what happened in the morning at 7:30? Blinds aggressively open, blanket pulled off, downstairs basement clean, bathroom clean, and your room clean.
Wow.
And I will check your closet. I'll be home at 4:30. It's a short day for Dr. Alcox.
Mm. Yeah, see, I like
kiss
that.
Kiss my ass.
That's the way to do it.
Dude,
you can't do that anymore. Now they look at you and go, who are you?
And nowadays, when I get mad at my girlfriends, I open up the blinds, I rip the blanket, and I'm kidding. No.
It does not work.
Gotta have a girlfriend
first.
Where's
my food?
Yeah. And I mean, that does teach you things. We go back to coaching where, like, was Mike McDaniel doing that in Miami? Like, if Tyreek, was he letting Tyreek push him around? Maybe. Was he letting guys kind of have like the fun? Oh, he's just kidding. Like, you know, hey, Raj. Like my mustache, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you're getting pushed around, you take advantage of that. Mike Tomlin's not a push around guy. So, the big important thing for Tomlin is, can he have that sort of relationship with the owner of the next team that he coaches?
Yeah.
Because in Pittsburgh, they will give you that. Art Rooney and family, they're like, hey, dude, like, it's your team.
Well, if you're an owner and you're hiring a coach, that means, you know, you obviously you stink and you need one other than like Baltimore, you know, 18 years. It was just, you know, it was time and whatnot. But if you're hiring Mike Tomlin, and again, Mike Tomlin is not a free agent. He cannot just take a job. He has to still be traded for. There is 1 year left on his contract.
Get a compensatory pick? Like if you were to make the playoffs, like Pittsburgh would get a...
Depends on what the deal is that they work out with the team if they trade him. Now, once next season, this time next year, Tomlin will be a free agent. Mike Tomlin needs to take the year off. He resigned. He's done. I'm done, man. I gotta go.
And take your strategy on that. Like, go try something new that you might fall in love with.
Yeah.
Like, go do TV and you'd be like, damn.
Yeah,
like,
just go clear your head. And if that.
Maybe.
You know, if that, unless you work for ESPN, then it's, you know, 75 hours a day that they're putting these guys on, but neither here nor there. But he's not a free agent. So everybody's like, oh, where's he gonna go next? Well, we got a year to wait on that unless somebody is going to make a trade for Mike Tomlin. And I just don't know if even the number one overall pick is worth it for Mike Tomlin at this point in time, because I don't know that that player is there that is worthy taking with that number one pick. Because if you're Pittsburgh, you need a quarterback. You really can't do much more until you solve the quarterback position. And they've been trying to solve that position for the better part of, you know, Ben Roethlisberger's retirement, and Mike Tomlin still found a way to win 10 games and finish above 500 every single year. And so if you're going to set your next coach up for success, you've got to find the right quarterback for that guy. And if I'm Mike Tomlin, I'm like, yeah, peace out, man. I'll see you guys in a year.
What's crazy is the NFL draft's in Pittsburgh this year.
Yeah, 99 days from today. Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, the nerd in me is like, oh, Pittsburgh's not the most attractive job, but the way you've laid it out, Bob, is like, well, do you want your employer to leave you alone and let you do your job?
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. That's what I want. So I'll let my nerd go away for a second and forget about the division, no quarterback. Yeah, but I want my employer to leave me alone and let me do what I do. So yeah, Pittsburgh probably number one. I'll give you that.
Okay, that's a great way to look at it. Let my boss leave me alone.
Yeah.
You know, and there's something to be said. Like,
but your hands free.
Have you guys ever had an overbearing boss?
Yeah.
I had two of them. It sucked, man. Like, it was awful.
No, I never did.
Yeah, it's awful when you have a boss like that. There's no need to be a boss like that. There's nothing. And I think people who are bosses like that, they're not big in other areas, if you get what I mean.
Oh, small man syndrome?
Yeah.
Men's wieners. He got a tiny peenie. So let me ask you this, because you're going to love this. You're the Giants at 5. You have your quarterback. Your draft pick, you're probably taking a right tackle or somebody to protect Jackson Dart. Why wouldn't you trade for Mike Tomlin and take the 21st pick in the draft from Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Pittsburgh trades with New York. They give him Tomlin. Pittsburgh gets the 5th pick in the draft. From there, you do whatever you want.
Oh, I'm the Giants. I'm absolutely trading that pick. But I don't know if it's worth enough for Pittsburgh is what I'm saying. You know?
Because Mike Tomlin and Jackson Dart, that could be interesting.
It could be a lot of fun.
It'd be really fun.
Harbaugh and Dart could be a lot of fun, too.
I would think the GM, is it Joe Shane or Shane or whatever? Shane, I feel like Tom would have to be like, here's the deal, brother.
Yeah, like just like when Andy came in here and got rid of Pioli.
Yeah,
you know?
He'd be kind of in that same realm.
Yeah.
But like, if you do have to trade that pick, because you have Cleveland at 6, you have the Giants at 5, you have Tennessee at 4. Tennessee doesn't need a quarterback.
No.
But they need a head coach, don't they?
Badly.
And you trade Pittsburgh the 4th pick, and then Pittsburgh can be like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go with that kid from Oregon because we like him. Or we're going to go with name guy, you know, Ty Simpson if he jumps, or whatever quarterback they want to take in that pick. But Tennessee and Giants, that to me is two teams, if it is worth a trade, those are the teams I would think that might see trade for Tom. Or Tom goes, man, I want a year out. I want to take time off.
And that's the other thing. I think it just seems like he needs that year out. He needs to hit that reset. But the problem is, man, how many of these coaches go away for a year and never come back.
You want to know what the text line's flooded with? Take a year off. And then after this year, if it doesn't go well,
here,
bring him in as a coordinator under Andy. And then when Andy's ready to go in 3 years, Tomlin steps in as a Chiefs head coach.
I don't think Tomlin would come in as a coordinator, though.
No way.
Not a chance. But if the Andy misses the playoffs next year and we're sitting here at this time,
damn
or
right.
if the middle of the season next year yes. and they're not playing well, it's going to be loud.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if that man is out there.
Especially, and you know how I feel about that man.
Ooh.
I would die if Mike Tomlin became the new coach of the Chiefs.
Well, that'd be fun.
Text line goes, can Tomlin now officially become the coach of the Chiefs? I'm joking. Coming up next, we'll talk about what happened in Kansas City yesterday with the fences. Garth Brooks, great album, No Fences. We come back here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Royals.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals. If you want to be
having a great time.
You want to be
loving the fun.
You want to see all of the excitement. This is the place and we're the one. You want to be yelling like crazy for the guys you love to see.
It's pretty cool they got Jay Lynch on here.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's Dennis Leary. You throw the ball, Scotty. You catch it and you throw it. Sure. Goes to show you that kids can teach more than parents. Watch The Sandlot. That's the main takeaway from that.
That's Dennis Leary?
Or Jane Lynch. One of the two. I think it's Dennis Lynch. Or Jane Leary. Who'd you rather hang out with, Dennis Lynch or Jane Leary?
Jane Leary.
I think so. You are the weakest link. Mac, you want to take a guess at what wild card game had the most views or ratings?
Let's do what? Packers, Bears?
Nope. It was the Niners and the Eagles on gotcha. Fox for 41 million.
Mm-hmm. Perfectly placed, 3:30 on Sunday.
Makes sense, yep.
The next one was the Bills Jags, 32.7, followed by the Packers Bears at 31.6, followed by the Chargers Patriots and the last place Rams Panthers. But that was the first game on Saturday afternoon, wasn't it?
Yeah. They always put the stinker there.
And that
they
was
believed
the
to be the stinker.
And then they have a couple. They have a comment in there. It says, two observations. Packers Bears was definitely hurt by being on Prime. That's a terrible rating for Chargers Pats game on NBC.
Did you hear this background to the Tomlin stuff that is now starting to leak out about what's going on? Okay. And this is from Peter Schrager at ESPN right now is where he is.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I've been told the Steelers aren't going to just let him hit the market. This is going to be one of those where if you want to have Tomlin services as a coach, you're going to have to trade something to the Steelers like Sean Payton had. The Broncos have to have trade something to the Saints. I don't understand if the contract expires and it works and he sits out a year and the contract is over, why would you still owe something to the Pittsburgh Steelers? You know, I don't know, you know, the inner workings of that. But Schrager also gave the details on how all this went down. Tomlin showed up at 9 a.m., told the owner he was stepping down, then met with the team at 1:30 in the afternoon. And this is the key. He wanted to be able to shake everybody's hand individually.
Oh, yeah. It's a man's man right
That's
there.
A man's man.
Hell yeah.
And Arthur,
look him in the eye.
Yeah. And Arthur, and it goes back to the comment from, you know, McGinnis that you were talking about earlier about, you know, just the way that this guy is a leader. That's mm-hmm. why I like Mike Tomlin. I don't know anything about his X's and O's, guys. I honestly have no idea what defense he favors, what offense he favors, or anything like that. But I just know that he's a leader, and he's somebody you want to go to work for, and he's somebody that has your back, and he's somebody that you want to have, you know, the back of. And, you know, even Arthur Smith yesterday was making the quote about how he relates to every individual person, and every individual person in that organization has their own relationship, basically, with Mike Tomlin. And that's the way you need to do it. Have different relationships that fit each individual person. And so, like, I don't think he's going to be around long, where people are saying, you know, is Mike Tomlin going to do anything? Are we going to see him? I think we'll see him right away on TV. I'd love to see him back in the NFL. But as these stories start to come out, you realize why Mike Tomlin is just different and better than just about everybody else who's coached in the NFL at this time.
Somebody says his contract doesn't expire. It's just paused. He will have to be traded no matter what.
It's
kind of like Sean Payton. How long was he out of the league? And then Denver still had to give up a 1 and a 2.
Is
that what they gave it for Sean?
Yeah.
And Sean hadn't coached in years.
Yeah.
Right.
2 years, I thought. I thought he was only on TV for a year, right?
Well, either way, same situation with Tomlin. Yeah. They still had to give it up because it was just pause. It's like,
okay,
that's what I'm getting at from what they say. Somebody said yesterday on Twitter, Mike Tomlin went into season one with the Steelers looking like Bernie Mac and came out in season like seven or whatever it was coming out like Mike Tomlin. It's so crazy when they do that. Like even with like the presidents, yeah. they say like day one in office versus day like year eight in office, you see like the difference until now. And like they have like the Mike Tomlin first day coaching and they show Mike Tomlin like yesterday and you're like, damn,
yeah.
I think this is a stressful job.
Jim Harbaugh kind of looked the same though. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like Harbs didn't get much older, you know. Tomlin got older because he was a younger guy when he took that job, right? And Harbaugh wasn't as young as Tomlin, so that's fun, man.
Got a pair of respects.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Yep.
So we asked a question earlier because I want to know who's real and who's not, and I've got 14.9% of non-real people. Fesco and Dusty Wednesday poll question as a Chiefs fan, who are you rooting for on Saturday, the Bills or the Broncos? 85% of you say the Bills. 14.9% say the Broncos. I'm confused as if why there's 14.9 of you.
Okay, let me say this though. Have you guys seen the maps that they send out of what states are rooting for what teams in the playoffs and all of that? Go look at the map of Kansas that they sent out, because if you look at it, like the first two counties from the state line in are all rooting for Chicago. But I would say like 95% of Kansas, they have shaded blue that are rooting for the Denver Broncos. So maybe we've got people out in western Kansas, like Topeka and places like that, fair. That could be listening that were Bronco fans at one point and, you know, whatever the case may be. And so maybe that's what it is. I just can't imagine waking up as a Chiefs fan this morning and saying, I'd rather have Denver win than Buffalo. I just can't imagine that. That's a division rival. We don't root for division rivals on any circumstance.
I don't have a fiber in my being to say, come on, Denver, you got this. Like, that almost made me vomit. You talk about Ben Maller talking about a vomit comment. That's the biggest vomit comment you could have is Denver having a victory lap going to the AFC Championship game. I don't want to see that. I want to see Josh Allen do what Patrick Mahomes did, right? I want to see him go on the road for every single game and win to get to the Super Bowl. People questioned Patrick Mahomes do it, and he did it.
He did it.
Right? He went everywhere. One on the road one place, then went on the road again, then went on the road again and beat Buffalo at home, beat Baltimore at home, and then went to the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl.
Could you imagine next week the AFC Championship game's in Houston? Houston versus Buffalo down there? Because that's what's going... I mean...
It's a possibility.
Yeah.
But also, you could have Buffalo-New England round three.
Yeah, you could.
Which I think a lot of people are signing up for that. I think a lot of people would sign up for that.
Why wouldn't you sign up for that? That's awesome. That would be great. I'm torn.
Do you really want Denver versus Houston?
No.
That's weird.
That is a likely outcome, too, though.
I mean, obviously, you know, yes.
It's wide open. Yeah. AFC is wide open.
I mean, if C.J. Stroud plays like he did, just like half of what he... If he turns the ball over two times against New England, they will not win that game.
Or just run a little bit. Just be smart. Like,
I just didn't understand it. Like, the flea flicker play when you were controlling the game, that didn't make
sense.
Yeah,
what was the point of that?
I did not understand that whatsoever. Like, that happened. I'm like, dude, just keep giving it to Marks.
I think they were just trying to jumpstart their guy. I don't know what
I think they were going for the kill switch. I think that's what they were doing. They were going for they're up 7-0 or 7-3. They throw that play on you. It's 14-3. They know you're not scoring 10 points. And then it's just like, okay, can we – because eventually that moment happened when Rodgers fumbled. They picked it up and walked it in. That was when the game was officially done because Pittsburgh was not moving the ball. What was it? Houston had like 400-plus yards on offense and Steelers had like 130. I mean, that's just – we knew that game was coming.
Yep.
Like, we saw that in the works. We knew that game was going to be a blowout. We knew Houston's defense was going to hold serve on that. Houston's defense is very similar to what Philly's did last year.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, Philly had all their offensive weapons. No Nico Collins is insanely scary.
But also, across the board, you're losing Christian Gonzalez as well. And so I think there's a wash there for that, for me anyway.
And then who was it? Was it Buffalo? No, it was – was it Houston? No, not Houston. Was New England? Did New England lose a lineman? Did they lose somebody to an injury? Not Christian Gonzalez, but somebody like that? Or am I thinking NFC side?
I don't know. I'll have to think. I don't know.
I'm sure everybody lost a lineman.
Yeah,
in the games.
A lot of people are losing everyone. I don't know.
They were talking about yesterday like as a big loss and what it could impact on the game. But a big gain at Kauffman Stadium is they moved some of the walls in.
I think what this has ended up is like we have tried for 30 years to find an outfield bat screw it, we're just moving in the walls and let's benefit and build this ballpark around what we have here. If you can't beat them, join them, or whatever they like to say at all times, because this has been a conversation about the walls at Kauffman Stadium since I've been doing this job, and I've been doing this job in Kansas City since 2001. It was one of the first things we've ever talked about, you know. Oh, they need to move in the fences. I remember sitting out there in the press box days of Kauffman Stadium and hearing, you know, people opine and talk about moving in the fences and all of that kind of stuff. The problem was the Royals never had any pitching back in those days, right? You had Chris George, you had Dan Reichert, you had, you know, Chad Durbin and
Daryl May.
Yeah, I mean, it just wasn't a collection of great arms that you had. Brian Anderson and Daryl May were actually pretty good pitchers, but I mean, you had nothing else, you know, with your operation at that point. You had nobody to keep the ball in ballpark. And so you're thinking to yourself, all right, what are we going to do? Let's move in the fences. So they did it for a year, and then they got, you know, lit up, and then they moved the fences back. And that was in the early aughts. And now here we sit in 2026, and the Royals have been very quiet this offseason. You know, I think they're in the top five least spending teams when it comes to free agency, and there haven't been any moves. And I think after about 30 years of trying to go out there and acquire that outfield bat and that big bopper, the Royals have just finally said, you know what? We're probably not going to be able to do it. Let's just go in and move in the fences and benefit the guys that we currently have in our lineup right now. And really, since the pandemic, the Royals, you know, in this era, since John Sherman took over, have been kind of brutal when it comes to finding an outfield. They gave up on Rooker and O'Hearn. They backfilled with Renfro and Michael A. Taylor and Garrett Hampson. They missed on MJ Melendez and maybe Tolbert in the draft. And so they need to find more than just Kyle Isbell to be one of those guys that they can count on in the outfield. And they just haven't been able to do that. And so what they're saying is, hey, the hell with it. Let's move in some of these fences and see what we can do. And I poured all the information into, you know, the AI as we're doing these days. And they're like, yeah, they probably would have gotten 3 to 4 more wins last year out of it. And you know what? That's the difference between not making the playoffs and making the playoffs, or those 3 or 4 wins. So if it's going to bring you 3 or 4 more wins, let's go.
Still shocked to hear Daryl May was good.
Daryl May was a pretty good pitcher for this team, yeah.
Not really.
Yeah, in that 2003 season, he was a pretty reliable guy.
Yeah, I mean, gave up 31 home runs and a ton of hits. 197 hits. I mean, that was his best year. I mean, he had a 3.77 ERA, which is decent. But
hell of a good
67 ERA. Home runs in 3 years as a pitcher in Kauffman Stadium. Like,
well, he did play road games, too.
Yeah, that's fair. Boy, that 2004 year was brutal. 9-19.
Everything was brutal that year.
That was a very brutal year. Very, very brutal. That was my sophomore year in high school, and I hated everything about it because the year before it was like,
it was great, right? And so they tried to build on that, and you
do
know,
you think a lot. So your take is they want to kind of can't beat them, join them.
Yeah,
some
yeah,
more,
yeah. Okay. You can't afford to get an outfield bat, so you're going to go out there and.
How do these decisions get made? Is it just ownership that says, hey, let's move the walls says, do it?
Yeah, but these conversations have been having for years.
I understand that, but I'm just trying to say, who's the executive decision maker?
I think it ultimately is JJ and, you know, his guys. Okay. I would think where they probably go to ownership and say, hey.
I would assume so, because that's JJ talked for most of the media yesterday.
I don't need to hear what ownership has to say about the walls.
Right, you know? Yeah. So I'm just trying to figure out whose decision it is. So love the decision. Mm-hmm. I also love the stones it shows of what you trust in your pitching staff.
Yeah, because now the pitchers have to keep it in the ballpark as well, because we never think of the flip side. If I go for two and don't get it, what's the downfall? Nobody ever thinks of that. If we move in the fences, what could be the, well, nobody thinks of that. It's going to increase our offense. Yeah, but also your pitchers. The good news is for Royals pitchers, they give up a lot of fly balls, but most of the fly balls they give up are soft fly balls. You know, AI had all the nerd stat breakdowns and all that kind
I'm
of stuff. You know, and I'm not into that either. Yeah. But if you're going through the reasoning of why, the Royals are into nerd stats, okay? They got a guy up there yesterday with JJ talking about all that nerd stuff, right? So they are into that, and so you do factor all of that in. And I understand using that stuff to factor into moving your fences, obviously, because those are things that you can use and say, yeah, you know what? Our pitchers do give up a lot of fly balls, but most of them are soft fly balls and they get a lot of outs. So it's probably not going to hurt our pitching as much as it's going to help our offense. And so I get all the nerd stuff, and you know, you can do all your nerdisms, you know, with that kind of stuff. It's when you're deciding on who to pitch in the third inning or whatever the case may be. I can just use your mind for that.
Yeah, because, I mean, you look at your pitching staff and what you can trust. Reagan's strikeout pitcher.
Mm-hmm. And there's so many strikeouts in baseball now.
Right. And Lugo, maybe back to your soft fly ball, but also a good ground ball pitcher, Waka, as well.
Mm-hmm.
Bubic can be a strikeout pitcher. We'll see what his stamina is this year. Then Noah Cameron, you know, we saw him a little bit at times have trouble with the long ball early.
Right.
We saw the Aaron Judge home run that hit the of. And
well, that's play. Aaron Judge.
Again, I'm just saying, but it was early, and then he just kind of settled down. But again, I think this is a big move that shows that you trust your pitching.
Yeah.
To go back on your take on O'Hearn and maybe Michael A. Taylor, I think O'Hearn is a failed product of a terrible hitting coach approach because it worked in Baltimore. It got him signed. That, to me, is on the hitting coach. I think they developed O'Hearn in Baltimore, and it turned his career.
But I'm saying the Royals failed at developing him.
Yeah, but I thought it was all just on, like, Sherman. I'm just saying,
oh,
like,
no. Okay. I'm just saying from when John took over to where. Okay. I mean, we could go back and look at all the outfielders since the Allard Baird days.
I mean, Michael A. Taylor won a Gold Glove playing that
ocean of center field. Not offensively.
And he was decent on offense. I mean, he was okay. He's better than Hampson, Renfro, and the other guys. But again, like, Rooker was also failed in Minnesota. Like, Minnesota gave up on him, too. They're not the only franchise.
No, the Royals aren't, no.
And sometimes in baseball, that 32-year-old randomly pops up, and you're like, where has this guy been? Well, he's been with Toronto, Minnesota, Kansas City, and now he's here, and it's working. So, again, it, to me, it's just the value of, like, how you are developing. And you're right. There has been piss-poor development when it came to
the outfield. It's been terrible. Yeah, for generations.
And we're hoping that Cags can nip that in the bud.
I mean, again, when I started this in 2001, the conversation was, do the Chiefs get a wide receiver or do the Royals get an offensive bat first? Like, those were the conversations we were having, right? Obviously, the Chiefs got Tyreek Hill, and the Royals still are looking for that coveted outfield bat that they've not been able to find or develop in the last 35 years.
And you've got a lot of people out here that have the opinion of Royals' poor excuse to not spend money to bring in an outfield wall. Come on, LMAO. Okay, guys.
I'm not surprised that that's the take. I'm not. I mean, that's a fair take. I mean, because that's what I was like. Okay, because they said they were going to try to get an outfield bat or whatever the case may be. And they haven't been able to do that. And so you start to go, okay, if we can't get this big bopper bat, but we got guys that can hit it in the gap, let's bring in the fences a little bit. Let's tailor the ballpark to a better place for our guys to play. And as Vinny said yesterday, the ballpark now becomes a neutral ballpark for everybody. But the fact of the matter is, like, when you look at what this stadium has done, it has not been a bad offensive ballpark at all. It's been a bad home run ballpark. It's like 25th in baseball when it comes to giving up home runs. But when you talk about doubles, triples, and runs scored, Kauffman Stadium is a top 5 or 6 ballpark in every one of those categories of giving up doubles and triples and runs. So there is offensive production. It's just different than the home run. And that's part of the problem with baseball right now is we're so fixated on the home run and the strikeout. Like the three clean outs or plate appearances or whatever they say, a strikeout, a home run, and a walk and all that kind of stuff. Like, we're focused on that. Let's get back to the Hosmer days and popping one in the gap and rounding the bases and using speed and playing fun baseball.
Well, see, that's going to be taken out a little bit. Like, the walls moving the way they are is going to affect Michael Garcia and Bobby Witt Jr. when it comes to those doubles and maybe triples that you see happen a lot because those walls will be and the angles will be different.
And you won't be able to, like, you won't be able to get on your horse and turn a double into a triple.
We'll see. J.J. Piccolo also said that Bobby Witt Jr. was one of the most negatively affected people at Kauffman Stadium. So we'll see if the dimensions really do change.
Because,
you know, last year you said, we're a playoff team. This year you're saying we're going to hit more home runs. So we'll see what they do with that promise. You're upset that Arenado's not a Royal?
Yeah, I would have loved him here. I think he would have been a great fit for this team.
You just signed your third baseman for the future.
Yeah, but you could also move him to the outfield.
Why would you do that?
Because Arenado's a better defensive third baseman.
Not right now, he's not.
He's a better offensive guy in your lineup as well. I think he would be a great fit here in
Kansas City.
Look
at his numbers from last year.
I saw him last year. It's a down year. That was a terrible situation last year.
That's also age.
Yeah, but it was also a bad situation in St. Louis. The Cardinals gave up nothing for, or the, not the Cardinals, the Diamondbacks gave up nothing for Nolan Arenado. He would have been a great fit in this lineup, a great veteran bat that you could have used in this lineup. I would have been willing to move Michael Garcia, because you don't have an outfield still. I would have still been willing to move Michael Garcia to left or right field and played him there for a couple of years and had Nolan Arenado at third base. I think that would have been a good move for the Royals. I understand why you didn't do it, and you make good points with all of that, but I still think he's a solid bat in your lineup, and you still need a solid bat in your lineup. This lineup right now, I'm still going, like Vern said the other day, I'm like, I don't know if I love this lineup going into the start of the season.
Yeah, Arenado does nothing for me. Like, I mean, 250, I mean, he's a player that is great 4 years ago, and it was diminishing quickly in St. Louis, and that's why a lot of their fans were upset because they missed the boat on when they could get anything back for him.
Yeah.
And then this year, it was kind of the confusion of, are you going to be at the trade deadline? Are you not? Are you going to be a part of this team? Are you not? And then he stuck it out the whole year. The fans gave him all that sort of stuff. But Michael Garcia hit almost 50 points higher than Nolan Arenado last year.
Oh, his bat's still in the lineup.
His glove is better than his. And you have such a great thing. Like, we just had Cotrero in here in studio. We're like, how great is your left side of your infield? You've got Michael Garcia, Bobby Witt Jr., and then you have, you know, Kyle Isbell in center, who plays a very well good center field at Kauffman Stadium. And I don't think that you mess with that. You finally figured out what you have and you leave it alone and you just say, hey, you're my future, because look what it did to when they brought Bregman in to the Giants. That guy was like, or whoever that was to the Giants, he's like, yeah. What? You're going to, or it was Boston.
Yeah,
he's
Boston.
Like, yeah, Boston. Yeah. He was like, you're going to bring in this guy because he's a gold glove winner as well. So am I. I play good third base. Get me the hell out of here.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with competition. And as far as I'm concerned.
When you just signed a guy.
Yeah, I don't. Competition makes everybody better.
Not that type. Backup quarterback getting drafted with a guy who's failed the last 3 years. That's a competition I'm all about. A receiver who hasn't made it over the last 3 years, who's got some shaky issues, you bring in a rookie wide receiver to the draft and say, who's number one? That's a competition. A guy that I've just told is the future of my third base, the gold glover, figured everything out, key part of the lineup, and say, we're going to bring in this 34-year-old because of his history, not because of what he can do in the future.
Yeah,
that, to me, is not a competition that makes anybody better.
Yeah, I look at it and I go, you have nobody in your outfield right now other than Kyle Isbell that I can truly count on to go out there and get the job done. And it would have made the overall team better if you could get a bat at third base and then have Michael Garcia in the outfield. Now you're going probably 6-7 deep in your lineup, and that's pretty good because I don't know how many teams go 5 deep anymore in Major League Baseball. Every team talks about the bottom third of their lineup being really bad, but all of a sudden you've got Michael Garcia, you got Bobby Witt, you got Vinny, you got Salvi, you got Isbell. Now you now add in Arenado into that mix. Maybe you move Garcia to second base and put Arenado at third base, and now all of a sudden you increase the competition for India or for Massey, or maybe one of those guys can move into the outfield. I just think that piece could have given you a lot of roster and lineup flexibility, which, as we know, they love that kind of stuff in baseball these days.
Yeah, I would think that would be good for maybe 3 years ago. But I just think Arenado's at that point where it's like, I don't want to give somebody like that an aging player money, because that's what the Royals did in the past, and we watched it fail.
Yeah.
I mean, Jose Guillen's an example of that. Juan Gonzalez is an example of that. We've seen that with multiple players.
And they're not giving much money, though. The Cardinals are eating most of that salary. I think Arizona owes him $4 million this year, which is going to be deferred money to 2030, or when the contract is up. And then they owe him like $6 million next year. So for the next 2 years, you're basically paying $10 million to get a really, really good veteran-proven bat.
Bob has a great question for discussion on the other side. Plus, he has a divorced friend that sent him some audio that's pretty hilarious. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Back here at 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Royals. This comes from the 816. Pat yourself on the back. Great text. The Royals did find 3 outfielders when I was a kid. Possibly would have been the best outfield of all time. Beltran, Dye, and Damon. But in typical Royals fashion, we paid for no one and they left.
Take the week.
All 3 would win World Series.
The worst part. There's so many bad parts about that, right?
My childhood just moving away from me?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Talk to you later.
I had the magazine with all 3 of them in center field sitting cute and pretty. I'm like, man, who's my favorite? They all are.
It was a fantastic lineup to have all 3 of those guys, but...
We got Michael Tucker out of the deal.
Yeah, you got end up with Michael Tucker, Roberto Hernandez, Blake Stein was part of that deal.
John Buck.
That was part of one of them with the Beltran deal.
You never heard of John Buck? The man with the greatest walk-up song of all time, Chutes and Ladders by Korn? Oh, man, he hit like 13 home runs in a season.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He was good dude.
Had the squarest jaw you've ever seen in your life. He could have played Batman.
Yeah, yeah. Good guy. I like John a lot. He was a good dude.
You don't want to hear that about yourself. But not talking about athletes.
Yeah,
good guy.
Square jaw. Yeah, you're right. True. Great guy. Great guy. Just tremendous.
Mac, he's the first one there and the last one to leave. Real hustler.
Yeah, exactly.
What's he do during the game?
Not Hustle. Much. Yeah, not much.
I wish I had 9 Mac Morris.
But, the Royals were so inept back then that it was just,
makes glass.
Yeah. I mean, he stunk as the owner, terrible owner. And then his son was telling everybody when they wanted to trade Dye, well, we're only trading him unless we get a shortstop back in return. So everybody's like, well, screw you. So the Colorado Rockies offered Nathan Perez. And so they had to get a 3-way trade involved with Oakland and all that kind of stuff. And so you ended up with Nathan Perez. You traded Damon because at that point in time when they traded Damon, they were scoring a lot of runs. The problem was they had Ricky Blotalico out in the bullpen who was pouring gasoline all over everything. And they were losing so many games because they couldn't close them out. So they traded Damon for Roberto Hernandez. They gave up on their offense. Man, now you got Roberto Hernandez coming in here, but there ain't no games to save because you ain't scoring any runs anymore.
And then he would get like, what, Tommy John, like a couple years later?
Did he have Tommy John?
I thought so.
I don't remember.
Who hasn't?
That. Right? Yeah, but I just remember Roberto Hernandez, man, he used to drink his cold light beers in a styrofoam cup after every game. And that,
smash.
I don't drink much beer anymore, but that even sounds delicious right about now, is ice cold light beer in a styrofoam cup, man.
One of the staples of my golf game in the summertime. Styrofoam cup with ice, and I pour a beer on it.
You do. They call that the Jersey Shore cocktail for a while. And I love it. If you're going to give me a light beer, it's going to have ice over it.
It's good on the golf course when it's 96 degrees and you're shooting 12 over par going into the ninth hole.
Yeah.
You had a great question for discussion.
Yeah, somebody on Twitter, formerly Twitter, what is the major cheat code in life? And I thought about that. I'm like,
happy life.
Yeah, that is a good cheat code, right? But for me, what I've come down to, the biggest cheat code in life, and how your life can be better for me, just remember this. It's not about you. When something happens, don't figure out how it's about me. How does this affect me? It's not about you. Nothing is about you, right? When something happens, it ain't about you. Stop thinking of that angle, and life will be better for you. That's my cheat code in life. It ain't about you. What do you guys got?
That's a great one. It's so easy to think everyone's thinking about you. You're the center of attention. You take a step back. Are you thinking about anyone else? No.
I had a conversation with somebody yesterday about something, and every response was, but for me, I mean, this isn't about you.
Yeah.
This is not about you. This is about this other person we're talking about. It has nothing to do with you or your feelings. I'm sharing a story. How do we get through this? Nothing about you. Stop making it about you.
Yeah, I would say be in charge of your day. You're the one who starts your day. So I remember my mom always told me that. I'm like, I'm having a bad day. Well, you know, what did you do to kind of get your day kickstarted like that? Are you putting yourself in that attitude? Because you are the one, you get yourself ready, you get yourself out of bed, you get dressed, you get the day going. Like, those 20 minutes, whatever it is, you're in the shower, like, that's the time where you can be self-talk. Okay, this is going to be a good day. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get my work done. Be positive. We're going to have good laughs. I'm going to smile. I'm going to be nice to people. That's the time where you get to be your own CEO. For that 15, 20 minutes, you make the day, man.
It happens all the time.
It does.
Yeah. And then the other thing is, then that's all great, and then you walk outside and you go to QT and somebody runs you over and knocks you down as you're trying to walk in. You're like, you son of an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. You know, like, what are you doing
get
here?
Get bent. Easier said than done.
No, it is. But it's true. Yeah. I mean, you know, like if you start your day thinking positive thoughts, hopefully it does carry on. You know, if you think about, like, it's not about me, it makes things easier, because half the conversation is, this doesn't affect you.
Yeah.
This is not impacting you. I don't care how it affects you.
Bob, these are off the air conversations. Come on.
Yeah.
From the 913. Got a DUI last night. It isn't about me. Not advocating that. Here's a good place to start. Treat people like you want to be treated. Cheat code in life. Just don't be a Richard. Yeah.
Dusty. Yeah, to treat people how you want to be treated is...
It's a good one.
Yeah.
It's a good golden rule.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Word. Somebody from the 816 says, Dusty's saying is, find a rich wife equals happy life. Well, I'm still looking. Still looking. My cheat code in life are phone apps.
Okay.
There's so many apps out there that can affect your daily routine, right? Like, we have some people that are like, hey, if you have the McDonald's app, free fries on Friday, you know, I don't know. Maybe that's a cheat code in life for you. Or health apps, like, you know, it says like your heartbeat was irregular on your watch or something like that. Like, maybe that's something I need to check out. Is that something I need to go see my doctor about? That app is helping you in life. The other cheat code in life is cottage cheese.
Cottage cheese.
It's healthy and it's delicious.
You introduced me to it, actually.
Yes. You'd not heard of cottage cheese?
Never heard of it.
Never tried it. And we went to Stewie McBrew's for happy hour, which is what we should do in the summertime at some points.
Would love it.
That is about me, because it's a walking distance of my house. But no, Mac was sitting there and I was like, you never had cottage cheese? And the bartender at Stewie's like, we actually have really good cottage cheese. I'm like, how do you have really good cottage cheese?
It's out of a tub.
Exactly, but they had the right tub. They had the small curdles, and they had the, I think it was like the Belfani cottage cheese. And Matt got a taste of it, and I was like sitting there. I'm like, okay. Got my phone out, started recording. He goes, man, this is really good. I'm like, yeah, dude, you can put it in lasagna. You can put it in your salad. You can make power bowls with it. It's delicious.
You know it's the first of the year, because there's a lot of cottage cheese commercials telling you how you can use it for protein and substitute. Mm. Like, everybody's trying to go on a diet after the first of the year. We're past the resolution time. Everybody's given up on those already. I saw them mixing it into eggs. I don't know that I'm a fan of that.
That was weird.
Ugh.
That was a little, that's jumping the shark a little bit on the cottage cheese there.
more of them coming in. You're as only happy as you choose to be. Two wrongs don't make a right. I tell my kids that daily.
Mm-hmm. That is life advice all the time. But that doesn't matter what they did.
Y'all taught me about this cheat code, a good oatmeal raisin.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Somebody says, Dusty, go get you a nice Whiteman Air Force Base woman. I was in Warrensburg for 7 years, and I didn't even get to be a doctor. I did radio, and I couldn't find one. I don't know. Cheat codes in life. Man, that's interesting. Always finding a back road to your job, to me, is a cheat code in life. Because, like, if you go the same route every day, right?
I don't take the same route any day.
That's a cheat code. And why do you do that?
Just to clear my mind, be different, change it up. Every day I take a different way.
I'll have to try that.
Because I was talking to somebody yesterday when I got to work. They go, did you go by so-and-so this morning? I'm like, no. They go, what, do you go a different way every day? I'm like, actually, I do. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the other day when our buddy Aussie Robert was bringing me to work, he was like, which way do you go to work, Mike? And I was like, I don't know. I was like, you can go Nall, Metcalf. You can go 69 to Shawnee Mission, you know, Parkway. And he's like, all right, let's go Metcalf. And he had thought that he had passed the station already because we were on a road where no one's ever at. You ever see Metcalf at 4:30 in the morning? It's beautiful.
It's great. It's the only time I'll get on Metcalf. Metcalf and Warnell. Metcalf. Metcalf and Warnell, the two streets, they can go take a jump in the Missouri River, too. Those two streets suck.
Yeah. From the 573, mine is don't take advice from sports talk radio hosts. Yeah. So bananas are a cheat code. Nice, solid, smooth pops. Somebody here, I like this one. Don't make politics your identity.
It's a good one.
Yeah, it's a great one.
We can all take a look.
Don't make anything you do for your job your identity.
That's fair. I'm trying to.
Because it's not.
No.
Somebody on the Twitter feed that had that question, one of the comments was, what's your greatest cheat code in life? I said nepotism.
That's a good, I'm not going to lie. I was this close to using that as my cheat code.
It's a good one.
It's legit.
Yeah.
It is. It is what it is. Sorry for those who don't, you know, take advantage of that, but that's kind of the way the world works, you know?
Good plumbing motto here. Poop runs downhill. Don't bite your fingernails. Paychecks on Fridays. Somebody says, fat kid pro tip, cottage cheese and spaghetti or any other pastas and red sauce with meat end up tasting like lasagna. Okay.
Okay, smash.
I just don't need anything to go to my spaghetti. Well, Parmesan cheese. Yeah, were you ever exactly. That kid where you go to like an Italian restaurant and they say, Stomi win, and you just refuse and your parents have to be, he's good.
he's fine.
You're fine. But he keeps mixing into the sauce. I'm not seeing it.
Did you guys see Sean Payton went off on a reporter yesterday now?
No.
I kind of don't really pay attention to Sean Payton. He looks like...
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
The Make-A-Wish Kenny Chesney version.
He looks a little like Kenny Chesney, yeah. So somebody asked him yesterday about having linebacker Dre Greenlaw back and his ability to attack downhill in the running game. A football question, right?
I did, yep.
Sean Payton. You want to attack downhill? Like, what do you know about attacking downhill in the run game? You don't know. So we're mad at somebody for asking a question or saying nice things to a coach, and then some nerd asks a football question. He gets undressed in front of the coach. F you, Sean Payton.
Oh, yeah. I just don't really like Sean. I just don't think Sean Payton's a good person.
Well, he's a deflate. Not a deflate. What gate did he do? Bounty gate. Mm. And because of bounty gate, I agree. Him and that guy with two G's Greg Williams. That guy sucks.
Greg Williams.
Too.
Oh yeah.
I don't care if he's from Excelsior Springs. He blows.
There's this guy named Joe. He was like Paul Bunyan.
Out here trying to hurt people.
Ugh. Good, better, best. Is that a good life motto? Like, could you?
Hell yes. Yeah. Let's go, Johnson. Ben Johnson.
Seems to be working. Coming up on the other side, I do want to play that audio for single people out there because maybe it speaks to me. I don't know. Plus, we can dive more into what's going on at Kauffman Stadium here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
This is Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.